And please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Revelation, chapter 11. And this morning we continue our study of the book of Revelation by looking at the first 14 verses of Revelation, chapter 11. And so, chapter 11, and beginning in verse 1. Before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together once again in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures, which are produced by the Holy Spirit, and we pray for your Spirit now to bring illumination to our minds and hearts that we may have a right understanding of your word, and enable us, O God, by your Spirit who indwells us, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Revelation 11, and beginning in verse 1. Then I was given a measuring rod like a staff, and I was told, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there. But do not measure the court outside the temple. Leave that out, for it is given over to the nations, and they will trample the holy city for 42 months. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone would harm them, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their foes. If anyone would harm them, this is how he is doomed to be killed. They have the power to shut the sky, that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that rises from the bottomless pit will make war on them and conquer them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city that symbolically is called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, some from the peoples and tribes and languages and nations will gaze at their dead bodies and refuse to let them be placed in a tomb. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and exchange presents, because these two prophets had been a torment to those who dwell on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet. And great fear fell on those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. And at that hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe has passed. Behold, the third woe is soon to come. This is the word of God. Now, this chapter depicts the fate and mission of the Church of Christ during the Great Tribulation. First, the church is depicted as the temple of God, which is exposed to violent persecution and yet is divinely protected. Throughout the tribulation, the world will persecute the church, but will not be able to destroy it. And second, the church is depicted as two witnesses who bear witness to Christ during the tribulation, and who ultimately seal their testimony with their own blood poured out in death. Their death, however, is not their defeat, but their victory. They are not delivered from martyrdom and death, but through martyrdom and death to a glorious resurrection. Just like Christ himself, who is the preeminent and faithful witness, these two witnesses are raised from the dead and carried into heaven on a cloud of glory. The death, resurrection, and exaltation of Christ, the faithful martyr, is reproduced in his two witnesses so that they function as icons of Christ who bear his image in their victory through death. So that's what this passage of Scripture is all about. It is about the church, the fate of the church, and the mission of the church during the tribulation. As the temple of God, the church will be preserved and protected by God from ultimate harm, even though it will be exposed to danger and persecution as it is trampled on by the pagan world. And as witnesses of Christ, the church will bear faithful witness to him, to the unbelieving world, and through death will conquer the beast and enter into the realm of glory. Now, the first two verses of this chapter, which is what we are going to focus on this morning, depict the church as the temple of God. Look again at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Then I was given a measuring rod like a staff, and I was told, 'Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there. But do not measure the court outside the temple. Leave that out, for it is given over to the nations, and they will trample the holy city 42 months.'" Now, some people believe that the temple here refers to the building that stood in Jerusalem until it was destroyed in 70 AD. And others believe that the temple here refers to a building that will be rebuilt in Jerusalem at some point in the future before Christ returns. But in the book of Revelation, the temple never refers to a building made with human hands. It refers to God's ultimate and permanent dwelling place, which is heaven itself, and also to the church, which God has formed into a temple, a dwelling place for himself by the Spirit of God. The church is the temple of God that dwells in the holy city, which is the New Jerusalem. In Revelation 21, verse 2, John says, "Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her husband." That's the church. The church is the bride of Christ, and it is the holy city that will be trampled by the pagan nations for 42 months. Again, verse 2. "Do not measure the court outside the temple. Leave that exposed, for it is given over to the nations, and they will trample the holy city for 42 months. Now, 42 months, as we are going to see, is a symbolic number used for the length of the tribulation. The tribulation is not literally 42 months long. It spans the entire church age from the first coming of Christ to his second coming. 42 months, or 3.5 years, is the length of time that the temple in Jerusalem was profaned by Antiochus Epiphanes IV, the king of the Seleucid Empire. His siege of Jerusalem and desecration of the temple was from 167 BC to 164 BC, 3.5 years. And it was his attack, as you may know, on the temple in Jerusalem that brought about the rebellion of the Jewish Maccabees, which is recorded in 1st and 2nd Maccabees. Now, that 3.5 year period is symbolically used in the book of Revelation as a paradigm for the tribulation period. And the idea is that just as the temple was attacked and the city of Jerusalem was trampled by the Gentiles for 42 months during the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, so too the church, which is the true temple of God, will be attacked by the beast during the tribulation. And the holy city, which is the church, will be trampled by the pagan nations. In other words, what happened in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes will happen again on a cosmic scale this time during the great tribulation. So that's why 42 months are mentioned here. It is a symbolical period of time. It is not literal. During the tribulation, the church will be exposed to danger. The church will be exposed to persecution and even martyrdom. It will be trampled by the world for the entire period of the tribulation, which again spans the entire church age, from the first coming of Christ to his return. It will be exposed to the full hostility of its enemies, and yet at the same time, it will not be destroyed. The church will withstand and survive the tribulation. Because even though it remains outwardly vulnerable to attack, inwardly it is entirely secure and protected from ultimate harm. It is sheltered from the wrath of God, and it is protected from apostasy. In verse 1, Christ hands John the Apostle a staff to use like a measuring rod and tells him to measure the sanctuary and the altar and those who worship there. Now, to measure here in this verse is to mark it off for protection. Measure it so as to mark it off for protection, to preserve it and protect it from ultimate harm. And as far as its outward physical bodily existence goes, the church is not measured. It remains vulnerable to the full hostility of its enemies. It's left exposed to danger, to persecution, to suffering, and to martyrdom. And it will be trampled by the world throughout the tribulation. But in its inward, hidden, and spiritual reality, the church is absolutely safe because it is under divine protection. It is protected by God. So that's the distinction here, the distinction between the part of the temple that is measured and therefore protected and the part that is not measured but left exposed is a distinction between two realities, one that is seen and one that is unseen. The reality that is seen by the eyes of man is the church suffering. It's the church being persecuted. It's the holy city being trampled underfoot. But the unseen reality, the reality that is hidden from the world, is that the church is safe. It is protected by God from ultimate harm. And at the end of the tribulation, the church will descend from God out of heaven as the new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, beautifully prepared and adorned for her husband. And so that's the fate of the church. That is the fate of the church during the tribulation. The church will never perish. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. In its inward being, it has been measured and placed under divine protection. And even though outwardly it is exposed to hostility and to the violent attacks of Satan and his kingdom, it is nevertheless invincible and indestructible and will emerge victorious at the end of the tribulation. Now that is the beautiful picture of the church that we see at the beginning of this chapter. That's what we have focused on in verses 1 and 2 this morning. Now the second part of this vision, which begins in verse 3, describes the prophetic mission of the church during the tribulation. The first vision about the temple describes the preservation of the church and also the persecution of the church. The second part of this vision in Revelation 11 describes the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to bear prophetic witness to Christ during the tribulation. And the church is symbolically depicted here as two witnesses. Who are the two witnesses in Revelation 11? You are. The church is. They symbolically depict the church. So the church is symbolically depicted as two witnesses who bear witness to Christ and who seal their testimony, their martyria, their witness, with their own blood poured out in death. But their death is not their defeat. It is their victory. It is through death that they gain victory over Satan and enter into the glory of the resurrection. And next time, God willing, we shall focus our attention on the vision of these two witnesses. There's much more that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. But, beloved, this morning, let me encourage you first with the vision of God's temple at the first of this chapter. The church is depicted here as the temple of God. The church is the temple of God, and that temple cannot be destroyed. God has measured it as to its inward reality. In its inner being, it is safe. It is protected by God from ultimate harm. It is shielded from the wrath of God. It is protected from apostasy. It is protected from satanic attack. It is safe. It cannot be destroyed. It may be and is, in fact, hated by the world and is often attacked and trampled. And we ourselves, beloved, may one day be violently persecuted. But there is, what this chapter tells us, there is an unseen reality. It's known to us because it's revealed in the Scriptures, though it's hidden from the world. And that unseen reality is that the church can never perish, her dear Lord to defend. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. We are under God's protection, and nothing can bring us ultimate harm. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, no matter how bad the tribulation may get, and it may get worse. And certainly before the return of Christ, it will get worse, as we are going to see as we continue our study of Revelation. But no matter how bad the tribulation may get, we are safe. We are safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. He holds us in His hand, and no one can snatch us out. To him be all praise and glory, now and forevermore. Amen.